Now, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 17 through verse 20 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 through verse 20. Before we read the text, I've entitled this message, A Surely Positive Message. A sure and positive message. Now, let me start off by saying this. A positive attitude is a good thing, isn't it? I can't tell you how many of these things that we receive on email and stuff, always telling you to have a positive attitude. Now, there's nothing wrong with a positive attitude. It's a good thing to have. Being positive is good. But we live in such a foolish age that men believe that to think positive thoughts will make all your dreams come true. They call it the power of positive thinking. If you just think positively, if you are just not so negative about everything, if you just think positively, everything's going to work out good for you. Now listen, I can think as positively as I want. I know this, I'll never be in the NBA. I mean, I could just be positive about it. I can have a good positive attitude, but there are so many things that hinders me from that. I'm short compared to them. I don't have any ability that they have. I even lack the desire to work for it. I don't even want to be in there. But if I change my mind and I was just so positive about it, that doesn't mean I'm going to get what I want. That's foolish to think so. Jesus said this, which of you taking thought could add one inch to your stature? Now I know I'm a certain height. I can't by taking positive thought grow one more inch. Positive thinking does not do anything in reality. It may make you feel better, but it's not going to change the reality of something. But people take this into the religious realm and they have this same philosophy with regard to God. That if they're just positive, if they're just positively thinking, they think that if they could just try really hard, and if they're just really sincere in their hearts, they can earn God's favor, that they could somehow move God to accept them based on their work. And when you tell them that's not true, they say, oh, you're just negative. Well, I'm positively negative that that's not going to work. I'm absolutely certain you cannot earn your way to God. You can't earn your way, urge God's favor. No matter how positive a person may be about this religion, the end of them will not be good because of this. They lack one thing, a promise of God. They lack a promise of God. God never promised salvation based on works or free will, no matter how positive men are about it. In fact, God promises the opposite, that if you come in your own obedience to God, you will positively go to hell. Now that's positive. I am sure of that message. Paul said this, If you be circumcised, if you add circumcision to Christ, He will profit you nothing. Now, friends, I'm positive about that. I'm positive because I have the Word of God that says that. But this morning, I want to bring you a positive message. I really do. I want to bring you an absolutely positive message. A message that I am absolutely sure of. I don't like giving you a message that I'm not sure of. If I'm not sure of something, I'm not going to tell you. Just not going to tell you. Otherwise, it would just be an opinion, wouldn't it? I'm not going to give you an opinion. I'm going to give you a surely positive message because it's a message of God. I want to give you a message full of positive hope, not wishful thinking. A message that declares that this, All the promises of God are yes and amen, but not in you, not in me, not based on our positive thinking or our works, but all the promises of God are yes and amen. Listen, only in Jesus Christ. Now that's my, if you want to look at that in verse 20, we're going to get there. It says, for all the promises of God are in Christ are yes. And in Christ, amen. All the promises of God are sure and positive in Christ. In Christ. Now let's read these texts together because I'm going to give us some context of what's going on. Then I'm going to, I hope that the Lord would teach us, first of all, when I give you the context, then it's going to teach us a lesson concerning the validity of God's Word, the surety of God's Word. Then I want to go over the promises, some of the promises of God with you. These promises and how they are sure. Let's read this together in verse 17. It says this, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things I propose, do I propose according to the flesh? Do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me, Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yes and no. But in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Now here's the context. Paul declares here that his determination was to come to this church. Paul determined to come to this church. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says this, now I come unto you. He said, I'm going to pass through Macedonia. And when I pass through Macedonia, I am going to come to you. And listen what he says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 6. He says, for I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. You see, the Apostle Paul, he wanted to come to this church, but he was hindered. He was not able. The providence of God. He said, I want to come back to you and preach the gospel, but I was hindered. And so what happened here is that some of his enemies, some of those that hated the gospel of Christ, took occasion against Paul to cast doubt on his preaching, on his doctrine. They were saying, well, look, if Paul said he was coming and he didn't come, then Paul must be a liar. And if he's a liar, if he can't even discern coming, then surely something's wrong with his doctrine. Something, if he's a liar, then that means that his doctrine must be bad. And so Paul asked this question, when I therefore was thus minded to come to them, did I use lightness? In other words, did I do this flippantly? Was I flippant and foolish in this promise? No, I truly desired, he said. I really wanted to come to you. He said, my no means no and my yes means yes. But what I purpose to do in the flesh, am I able with omnipotence to accomplish it? Well, the answer to that is no. Can I not be disappointed by the providence of God? How many times was Paul disappointed by the providence of God? Remember, he desired to go on in east into Asia, and the Holy Spirit forbade him to go over there. He was disappointed many times. Do you think he wanted to be killed and beat? No. But this was God's providence, and he must surrender to it. Remember what Paul said when he made this promise. He said, if the Lord permit. If the Lord permit. This was evident the Lord was not willing that he go back. But let me ask you this. What does that have to do with the doctrine that Paul preached? What does his hindrance of coming again, what does his disappointment by the providence of God have to do with his doctrine? How can you relate the failure to come to Corinth with the gospel? Yet that's what men did. And so in verse 18, he says this by an oath. He said, "But as God is true, our word, our doctrine, our preaching toward you was not yes and no." When we were speaking in the flesh, we might say, "Well, I'll do this if the Lord will." And you, that's the way we should speak. Because our promises are dependent not upon our will, but the sovereign will of God. So then this morning, I got up and I determined to come to preach to you. And that's my determination this morning, preach a gospel to you. But what if I was hindered this morning? Does that have anything to do with my gospel? No, nothing whatsoever. We must say, if the Lord will. We're all dependent upon the sovereign will. So our promises, our word may be yes and no. But when it comes to the word of God, it is not yes and no, but it is a sure word. God's word is true as God is true. That's what Paul said. Look at that again. Look at that again in verse 18. But as God is true, in contrast to me, I might be saying, yes, I'll come to you, but maybe I was hindered. But God's word's not like me. God's word is as true as God himself. Therefore, our gospel that we preach is always yes. It's always positive. It's always sure. It doesn't change. It's my heart's desire that God would teach us this lesson, to never judge God's gospel by his preachers. That's an important lesson, friends. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration of this because it's near to home to me. Over the past few years, you've known of men who have preached the gospel of Jesus Christ but have fallen away. I know of a man who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, did it faithfully, did it, his word that he preached. You could go back and look at his old messages and you couldn't find any error in them. They were good messages. They were sure messages. But this man, he got off on something else. And he's now off in la-la land, believing the world is flat and everything else, and thinking you got to believe that to be saved. Now, what does that man have to do with the gospel? Because he went away, does that make the gospel that he preached invalid? No, it has nothing to do with that. That gospel was true before he preached it, and that gospel is true after he left it. The gospel is always true. Never judge God's gospel by what his men do. I know of a pastor many years ago, very faithful pastor, very good pastor. He became so depressed, he became so down, that he went into a room and killed himself. Now, did that have anything to do with his gospel? Did that change his gospel because the man did that? No. I believe the man is fine. He's in glory now because his salvation didn't have anything to do with him. But that does. We should never judge God's gospels based on his preachers. You ever hear that? Somebody say, "Well, I ain't ever going to listen to that gospel again because that man did this." That's foolishness. You know that? That's foolishness because men change. Men are flesh. We are nothing but sinners. Say, this treasure God has given us is only in an earthen vessel. This gospel of gold, this precious stone, is kept inside a clay pot. For what purpose? That the power might be manifest to be of God and not of men. If this gospel does anything this morning, you betcha it's the power of God and not the power of the preacher. There's nothing in the man. Nothing to trust in the man. God has by his grace brought this treasure of the gospel of his grace in a clay pot, an earthen vessel, another poor sinner saved by his grace. The vessel of flesh may be uncertain, but the treasure of the gospel is sure. It's always sure. This gospel was sure before I preached it. This gospel is sure when I'm preaching it. And this gospel will be sure long after I'm gone. This gospel is sure. The gospel we preach is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The vessel that brings us is nothing but mutable flesh. There's nothing in us. The gospel of God, our confidence is not in the preacher. I pray your confidence is not in me. I pray your love for this gospel is not in because of me. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3. If you want to turn over there, you can. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul said this, for we are the circumcision. What is he saying? He's saying we're the elect of God. We're the true Israel of God, which worship God in spirit. In other words, the Israel of God are born again of the Spirit of God. They by faith see their depravity, and by faith they believe on Jesus Christ. These are the only ones that worship God in spirit and in truth. And rejoice in Christ. You see, the elect, they rejoice in Christ. They see His blood satisfy the justice of God. We see His righteousness is imputed and imparted to us in the new birth. And therefore, our rejoicing is in Him. And what is the result of this? Look at that. And have no confidence in what? The flesh. The flesh. I have no confidence in the preacher. I have no confidence in you. I have confidence in Christ. That's what the elect rejoice in. We rejoice in Christ because that is the sure message. That is the sure foundation of our souls is in Christ and not in this body, not in this flesh. Our gospel must never be judged based on the weakness of those who preach it. Oh, please don't ever judge God's gospel based on me. Please. And so Paul says, but as God is true. Now look, I may be wrong. I may be in error. I may not have gotten what I wanted. But listen to this. God is true, and everything God says is true. I am God. I change not. I change not. In the Old Testament, I like this. When God swore by something, you know how He did it? He said, as surely as this is going to happen. In Exodus, in Numbers 14, 21, it says, as surely as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now you can bet on this. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Why? As sure as I live, that's what's going to happen. God swears by Himself. This gospel is God's oath. God swears when He could swear by none greater. Who did He swear by? He swear by Himself. Himself. I tell you, God is true and cannot lie, and when God says He'll do something, He'll do it. Is there anything more positive than that? Can you be sure of any more? Is there anything more sure in this world than that? There's not. Everything in this world, you can try to base your promises on. I swear on my mother's life. You know how many times we lie and say that, and our poor mom, she didn't even die. We're certain of nothing. This is the only positive surety in all the world is what God says. Let God be true and what? Every man a liar. That's what I say because that's what God says. Let God be true. You know what separates a true God from all the other gods? Sovereignty. That separates a true God from all false ones. In Isaiah chapter 46, he's talking about Baal and Nebo. He said, look, they bow and they stoop. They couldn't even keep themselves from being carried away captive. He said, those gods you had to carry around on beasts, and those things were so heavy, the beast even couldn't even hold them. You know what the difference is between me and them, God says? I carry you. You don't carry me. He said, I carry you. I have borne you from the belly and carried you from the womb. Even to old age I am he. Even to hoary hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, I will carry, I will deliver you. See the difference? And you know what God says? He says, there's no God like me. There's no God. There's no other God but me. What's the difference? Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times of things that were not done, saying this, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now that's God. Paul says, but God is true. Therefore, His word is true. It is positively certain to take place. That's what God is. That's what His word. He said, whatever I've determined to do, that's what I'm going to do. You know what God is determined to do? Save Israel. Save Israel. That's His whole purpose. Read the Old Testament and find out what God is going to do. Every time God turns around, what is He doing? He's saving Israel. That's just a picture of God saving His people, His elect. And God, you remember in that same passage, Isaiah 46, God says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to save Israel in a way nobody ever thought. I'm going to use a heathen king that don't even know me, and I'm going to make him save you. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, Cyrus. He's going to make Cyrus. And you know what happened? Listen, what happened? Tell me what happened. It happened exactly as God said it would happen. Why? Because His word is true. Everything He says is true. It's positively certain to take place. Well, you know how God saves people, saves sinners? In the way that nobody ever would have thought. Listen to what He says in Isaiah 46. He says, hearken to me, you stout-hearted, you that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. Listen to this. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion. Who? For who? For Israel. For what purpose? My glory. You see, God's salvation, this is His sure word to sinners. This is His sure word to sinners. You that are far off from righteousness, you listen to God. You hear God. God says, you stout-hearted rebel sinner, listen to me. Don't bring me your righteousness. I will bring you mine. I'll bring you my salvation. I will place salvation in Zion. Who is this righteousness? Who is this salvation that God has determined? If God's word is sure, and God is speaking to the stout-hearted, and God has purposed to save Israel, listen to what God says. I bring my righteousness near, my salvation near. Who is that? Look back at your text. Paul tells us what he preached. He said, this is why God's word is true. That word we preach to you, that's not yes and no. Listen, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who we preached, was not yes and no. But in Him is yes. In Him is yes. The righteousness and salvation we preach is, listen, in the Son of God. He who is the express image of the Father has come nigh in the flesh. God the Son came into the world as a representative man. And you listen, He surely, according to the eternal covenant of grace, brought salvation that God purposed. He surely did it. Yes, preachers are changeable. But since the gospel is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, preachers change, but the gospel doesn't. The gospel never changes. Jesus Christ is not yes and no, but only yes. He was from the beginning purposed of God to be the Savior of all the elect. He was decreed by the sovereign will of the Father that all those He loved and purposed to save, that He should make them holy and blameless and acceptable in the sight of God. That is God's Word. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, read it. Tell me if this is not God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And where are they? Where are all these spiritual blessings? They're all in one place, in Christ. Remember when Joseph gathered up all that wheat? Where was all the wheat? It was in one place. It was only accessible through one man, Joseph. That's a picture of Christ. All of the blessings and promises of God are gathered together in one man, Jesus Christ, and given to those who God has chosen, according as He had chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. How? By Jesus Christ to Himself. Don't you see that God put all the blessings in Christ and then put all of the elect in Christ? He put us in union with Christ before the foundation of the world, that He should be our surety, our mediator, our high priest, and the only offering for sin. God put everything in His Son. Everything. It was the eternal purpose of the Father that Christ should come and be the second Adam. Remember what the first Adam was? He was a representative. And when the first Adam sinned, guess what all of his people did? They sinned where? In him. That's the reason you and I were born dead in trespasses and sins, because He died first. And that death and that sin was passed down to us. Now then, look at the second Adam, Jesus Christ. He had also a people. And when He was righteous, guess what? All of His people were righteous in Him. When He died, all of His people died in Him. When He rose again from the dead, all of His people rose again together with Him. And now He gives this righteousness and atonement to everyone through not the first birth, but the new birth. Don't you see how He's a second Adam? He represented all His people. And listen what God said about this man. He said, for by His one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's a positive message, isn't it? Isn't that sure? That's a sure message. This gospel we preach is not yes and no. This gospel we preach is not maybe. This gospel we preach is not wishful thinking. This salvation is not positive thinking. This salvation is done by someone else. It was purposed by the Father. It was accomplished by the Son. It is revealed and given by the Spirit. This is all His work. From start to finish, my salvation is all His work. That's a positive message for someone who can't do anything. For someone who can't earn it, who can't merit it, it is the most positive message in the world. It is the most enriching and glorious message that has ever been heard among the sons of men. His salvation is of the Lord. Therefore, we are sure. We are sure. I'm sure of this, that everyone the Father chose and everyone Christ redeemed, the Spirit will call. But God is true. Listen, I can't call anybody. I can preach the calling to you, but I can't call anybody. That's a Spirit's work to call. And I'm sure of this. He will call His people to Himself. I am positive of that. Sure of that. How can you be so positive? Listen, if I wasn't sure of that, I wouldn't do this. Many times preachers feel like a hamster in a wheel. We just run, go nowhere. It appears we're doing nothing. That doesn't matter what it appears. It matters what it really is. Because God is calling His people. God is saving His people whether we see it or not. God is using the message. Because Christ said this, "All that the Father giveth me," tell me if this is not positive, "shall come to me." Now, is that positive? Does that sound yes and no to you? Does that sound maybe to you? Because that's not maybe. That's positive. That's a sure positive. "They shall come to me." And this is positive. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." That's positive, isn't it? "I will by no means cast them out." There is no reason I would ever cast them out. You got that? People say, "Well, you know, if I come to Christ, I just don't believe He'll receive me. I just don't. There's too much trouble, too much sin, too much this, too much that." Jesus said, "There's nothing that would hinder me from accepting you." Why? Because everyone that comes is determined to come. And I know this, that Jesus Christ won't lose any. You got that? There will not be one missing from heaven. Everyone that's supposed to be there will be there. Remember, there were 24 seats. How many elders? Were there 25? Were there 23? There were 24. 24 seats, 24 elders. A chair for everybody. We used to do that cakewalk, remember? Cakewalk, and then you'd play the music, and you'd stop, and you'd sit down, and then there'd be somebody without a chair. That's uncertain, isn't it? You're not guaranteed a chair. But listen, everyone that comes to God by Christ is guaranteed a place. That's a positive message. That's a positive message. Jesus Christ said He came to do the will of the Father, and that's the will of the Father, that you should come. And everybody comes, they won't be turned away. Now, a false god of free will works religion desires everyone to be saved, but not sure that any will. That sound like a yes gospel to you or a yes and no gospel? That's a yes and no gospel, isn't it? That's not what we preach. We don't preach a yes and no, maybe. Well, who's going to be in heaven? Well, I don't know. Maybe some. That's not my gospel. I'm sure there'll be exactly as many as God chose and as Christ redeemed. I'm sure of that. It's a positive gospel. The death of Christ didn't make salvation possible. That's yes and no. Well, He died for everybody, but no, not everybody He died for is going to be saved. That's yes and no gospel. We don't do that. That's not what we preach. We preach a yes gospel. Everybody He died for will come, and none of them will be lost. Our gospel is yes. Positive gospel. Now look at verse 20. "For all the promises of God are yes and in Christ, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Now, I'm going to have to move quickly, but I've got 4 points here. I got 4 points here. 4 questions, really. First of all, what are the promises of God? Secondly, who are the promises for? And where are they found? Thirdly, what is God's purpose in giving these promises? And how are these promises declared? Okay, first of all, what are the promises of God? Now, seeing that God's Word is sure, have I made that clear to you, that God's Word is sure? Have I made it that this is a positively sure Word, that God, when He determines something, that's it. It's sure. That's the Word we preach to you. Not yes and no, but yes. So what are the promises that are sure? First of all, how about this one? Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. This is a question that sinners ask. Is there forgiveness with sins? Is there forgiveness? Preacher, are you sure there's forgiveness? Listen, God promises there's forgiveness. Promises forgiveness. Our gospel is a positive gospel. Remember, is there forgiveness with sins? Yes. Yes. Listen to what David said. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who should stand? What a question. If God should count your sins, how many would there be? Now you mark this down, God does count iniquity. Only a just God counts iniquity. You know, I love my children more than anybody else in the world. I love my children. Now, do I count all of their failings? Do I keep a log? No. No. How big would it be, guys? How big would that book be if I counted all your failures? But I'm not just. A lot of times I let you just slide, just go. I'm not just. God is not like me. He's very just. And so He must, in holiness, mark iniquity. He must. Who then shall stand before God in His own righteousness? None of us. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one will be able to stand before God in His own works. None will be accepted of His own goodness. None by of our works or religion can make us holy before God. So this is why a sure gospel we preach is only to sinners. You see, I want to preach to sinners. Now, if you're a sinner, I want you to pay attention, because I want to preach to you. Only to you. Now, you self-righteous people that work and can earn your way, I don't have a sure message for you. I've got a sure promise from God to sinners, and only sinners, only those who are completely guilty and helpless to earn forgiveness. I have a sure promise of God. Listen to what David said. But though you do mark iniquity, though I deserve no forgiveness, but here's a promise. There is forgiveness with thee. Forgiveness with thee. So, does anyone need forgiveness? The God, our God, has promised it and cannot go back on His word. In fact, this is part of His covenant. You know what a covenant is? It's a promise. It's a contract. And God has made a contract, and this is His promise in that contract that He made with Himself. Listen to this. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. So is there forgiveness? Yes, God promised it. Second promise, eternal life. We are all dying. It is appointed in men once to die, and after this, what? The judgment. The judgment. As equally as it is clear God forgives sins, it is true that we're going to die. Friends, we're going to die. That's just so. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back before our time, we will die. And then every man must stand before God. And every man who is not just and righteous before God must be eternally damned. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely what? Here's a promise. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. That's a promise. But there's hope for the dying sinner. If God should pardon your sins and forgive your unrighteousness, He also promises this at death. He shall give you eternal life. Eternal life. Paul said this in Titus 1, verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promises eternal life. Who? Those He forgives. A third promise is this, His presence. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Listen, if a man has God always with him, and God is always on his side, what more does he need? You ever thought of that? If God's on your side, if God's for you, and God is always with you, then what more would you need? Shouldn't he not provide everything you need if he is for you and with you? And yet God promises that he will be with us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, what would you give for these promises? What would you give to be forgiven? What would you give to have eternal life? What would you give to have God be for you and with you always? These are promises of God. Now, what would you give for it? Do you need forgiveness? Are you dying and need eternal life? Are you troubled and afflicted and need to be comforted by the ever-presence of God? Then listen, you got to know the second thing. Then who are these promises for? If God promised them, He promised them not for everyone. Now, right? Listen, many people are not going to be forgiven. Many people will not inherit eternal life. Many people do not have the presence of God, and God is against them. So these promises are not for everyone. They're for certain people. Now, who are these promises given? Look at your text. Look at the Word of God. For all the promises of God, what? Forgiveness, pardon, peace, eternal life, the ever-abiding presence of God, the grace of God, are only found where? In Him. All the promises of God are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. As we read earlier, the Father had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, where? In Christ. In Christ. All the spiritual blessings that I just mentioned, the promises, are in Christ Jesus. Peace with God, pardon, eternal life, righteousness, are given to the elect in Christ before the foundation of the world, because they, and only they, were put into union with Christ. Only they, only those people were put into union. And God promised to them all spiritual blessings. Therefore, Jesus Christ, as their high priest, came and fulfilled those promises by providing righteousness and redemption, justification, resurrection. Everything He did was for them, so that they might have the promises of God, because they were in Him. They were in Him. So then listen, this is the point. How may you know you are in Christ? Since all the promises of God are to the elect, all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen to them who are in Christ, how may you know if you are in Christ? How may you know your election, your redemption, and your justification? How may you know you have these things? Here's a very simple thing. Do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the Son of God? Have you seen your hopelessness to merit these promises? Do you see that there is nothing you have to earn forgiveness, nothing you can do to merit eternal life, and nothing you would ever be able to do to make God to be for you, because all you've done is sin? Is that you? Then I tell you this. Look right now to Jesus Christ. Stop trying. And look. Lay down your tools. Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to figure it out. Why? Why would you try to figure this out? Lay everything down and just come. Just come to Him. Believe on Him. Trust in Christ. And all who trust in Him, listen, you are in Him. You are in Him. And all the promises of God are to you, yes. Oh. Has God forgiven me? How many times have you asked yourself that? Has God forgiven me? Do you believe in Christ? Oh, yes. Yes, with all my soul, with all my heart, I believe in Christ. Then the promise is to you, yes, God forgives you. You know how often God forgives you? Every minute of every day, every second of every day, He cleanseth us from all our unrighteousness. Whosoever confesseth his sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. So that promise is yes. What a positive promise, isn't it? Yes, to you it's yes. Do you need eternal life? Do you need eternal life? Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden." And this is a positive. Yes, I shall give you rest unto your souls. Are you weary of working? Are you weary of trying to earn it? Remember that rich man? He said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" No. No. What must Christ have done to inherit eternal life? And those who are in Christ have eternal life. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath already everlasting life. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you." Is that not wonderful? Is that not positive? "And whosoever believe in Christ," you listen to this, "you have the presence of God constantly abiding with you, and God is ever for you." He is ever for you. I read this to you. Isaiah chapter 41. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. "Fear thou not." Why? "I am with thee." "Don't be dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Verse 17, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them." Is that a positive word? So I'll tell you this, many times you feel forsaken. But what does that have to do with anything? Remember, we're flesh, we're changeable, we're mutable. Don't put any confidence in what you feel. Put your confidence in what God says. "I will never leave you." It is a promise of God. "I will never, no, never, no, never leave you nor forsake you." Now, third question is this. What is the purpose of these immutable promises of God? Look back in your text. Paul tells us, "For all the promises, forgiveness, pardon, peace with God, presence of God, are in Christ." They were given in Christ before the foundation of the world. They were in Christ when He accomplished them. And they're in Christ when we believe, and they're ours. They're yes. And in Him, amen. Listen, this is the purpose. Unto the glory of God. Why is all this happening? Why is it this way? Have you ever had people ask you that question? Why did God do it this way? The only answer Scripture gives us is this. For the glory of God. God is doing everything for His own glory. Man don't like that. They want Him to do it for their glory. But God says, I ain't doing it for you. Isn't that what he said in the covenant? He says, I do this not for your sakes, but for my own holy name's sake. Therefore, we can be sure it's going to happen because God has put his glory on it. God signed his name to it. And if it fails, then God would cease to be God. And that just ain't going to happen. Unto the glory of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ under the glory of God. And thirdly, how are they declared? Paul said, by us. This is how you hear of these things. This morning, you heard this by a frail man. A clay pot that's no better than you. A sinner saved by the same grace, a receiver of the same promises of God, and all I'm doing is repeating these promises to you. And these promises are sure. They're yes and amen to those who are in Christ. And this is how God saves his people through the preaching of this word. Therefore, let us not trust in men. Here's my conclusion. Don't trust in men. Even though God's men may fail in our promises, we may in weakness fall into sin, we may be sick and we may die, but never judge God's word based on us. God is true. I may fail, but God's word that we preach to you is true. It's yes. It's not yes and no. We're yes and no people. God is not yes and no. God is only yes. Certain. Positive. His word is immutable because God is the author of this gospel. It was God who purposed to save and elect people. It was God that gave them to Christ. It was God who purposed Christ to accomplish their salvation. It was Christ who fulfilled all their righteousness. It was Christ who fulfilled and accomplished their redemption. It was the Holy Spirit who will not fail to give them life and faith. And so then, all who believe in Christ, you have all the promises of God. Every one of them are yours. Go find one. I've mentioned three, but there are many promises in here. Go find one. I'm not talking about this name it and claim it garbage. Find a promise. And God says, yes, I'll do that. You'll forgive me? Yes, I'll forgive you. You'll pardon me? Yes, I'll pardon you. Eternal life. It's yours. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Know what he said? I don't feel the presence of God, but you have the presence of God. Why? Because God's word doesn't change. It's immutable. It's all for the glory of God. And that's why God sent us to preach this positive message to you. This positive message. It's sure. It's sure. It's not positive thinking. Not wishful thinking. It's salvation accomplished and salvation applied. Salvation purposed. It's sure. Do you have this salvation? This morning, right now, do you have this? And if not, why? Why not? Come now to Christ. Not to this man, to Christ. Come now by faith, and you will have all of these promises of God. They'll be yours forever. Forever. Because they're yes and amen. Because they're not in us, they're in Him. They're in Him.